sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 59. Dr. Umar and Erykah Badu. These rappers, insecure. They talk about being a man so much, I finally understand that they aren't even sure. About who they are and what they do this. Guess I'm included in that category as a nigga who done had the glory. My highest moment come from telling all the saddest stories I've seen in my life. I've seen in my life, I be fiending to write songs that raise the hair on my arms. My lowest moments came from trying too hard to impress those niggas that I couldn't care if I'm on.
Message!
Therefore, from here on out, my hair grow out. I care nothing about opinions. I want to give hope like the fountains you throw pennies in. Clever. Hit the store, take your diss, make your wish. This is dedicated to the ones that listen to me on some faithful shit. I'm on some thankful shit, but the real God is in you, not the music you copying. I hear my old shit and know I can't stop it. False prophets.
Message!
Yeah, that's the real message. That's the real message, that last one. All right, welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I need to inform you, new listeners, that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who feel like outcasts and grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on February 18, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yeah. You guys can't tell, but the sound in my headphones are... There we go. Oh, my God. Whew, okay. The sound in my headphones were bothering me. Thing is, I'm using these noise-canceling headphones, and I... it's a lot of details. You don't need to know. All right. Before I start the show, I need to just give you a heads up for anyone listening to this podcast and who are a fan of Dr. Umar and Erykah Badu. This is not that kind of episode. No, this is not that kind of episode. I'll explain the title of this episode in final thought. Now, for you new listeners, just to help you get situated, check this out. So I like to break down my podcasts or episodes into three parts, three acts. The first act is the intro. Second act is news and random thought. And the final one is final thought. In the intro, in the first act, I like to do, well, so far what I've done is I've played the theme song, told you the title of the episode, recited some poetry, shout out to J. Cole, and did my usual introduction, try to give you, you know, just try to warn white people, kind of, you know, this is a black podcast, and, you know, proceed with caution. This is not a white fragility, this is not a safe space for white fragility. And then in the intro, I like to do shit like bring up some dates. Dates worth remembering, like, for example, happy 82nd birthday to the late Huey P. Newton. He was, born on, what year was it? Huey P. Newton? Anyway, yeah, February 17th. It's one of those dates I have memorized. And, February 17th was Huey P. Newton's birthday. Another thing I like to do in the intro is share some quotes that I came across during the week. And the first one goes like this. It goes, that says, everybody isn't going to put up with that's just how I am. Growth is a decision. Let that marinate. Yeah, I shared some thoughts about this. You know what? Okay, I'll skip that one. Second quote goes, was there a second quote? Oh, no, there was no second quote, okay. But someone on the internet posted on my Twitter timeline, posted something that put a smile on my face so that I kind of needed to hear. Shout out to Lady D. Devery McCain, is that her name? Devery McCain? Anyways, she goes, dear men, leave the gray in your beard alone. Sincerely, grown-ass women. I say this because... Sorry, I got distracted. Free Liam Neeson is trending on Twitter. I follow that account then. And I guess he must have pissed off Elon Musk. Anyways, I'm distracted. Yes, shout out to grown-ass women for that reminder. It's fun. I don't know. I think my problem with my, well, first, the gray hair are new to me, are new for me. And two, I've been having difficulty, despite me getting old, I've been having difficulty letting go of my youth or letting go of the fact that you're not that high school teenager. Those days are gone. You're not that young adult who just started this job, who's just trying to figure out life. No. You're the old guy now. I don't know. I don't know if it's getting old that's the factor, or the inevitable, or the or immortality, not immortality, or the fact that the idea of dying. You know what I mean? It's like death is just around the corner. I mean, it was always a possibility, but I don't know. It just feels like life is at its final curtain. And I'm in my 40s. That's the weird part. I hear people in their 30s bitching about being old. I'm in my 40s and constantly being reminded by people my age saying, or older than me, saying, nah, dude, 40s is still young. Don't feel like it, but it is what it is. Anyways, just to keep it positive, shout out for posting that shit, for posting that message. Okay, and this concludes the intro. Hold on a second. Yeah, this concludes the intro. So I'm going to set up now for news and random thoughts, okay? All right, let's go. Okay. All right. I am... Yo, do you guys see that Trump put out some new sneakers? I won't lie, man. They actually look nice. I wouldn't fucking purchase. I wouldn't wear them. But they look nice. the idea of, they're $400 sneakers, you know, and a lot of Trump's people are like poor. And like, I don't know how much moonshine you need to sell to be able to afford that kind of shit. But that's, anyways, yeah. A lot of Trumpers are going to go broke and die from COVID. All right. Okay. Just trying to set up here. Things I should have done. Okay, all right, let's go. Comment ça? Yeah, I feel the need to start out with... Actually, okay, before I get to talk about this rejection letter that I got this week, I'm going to just talk about real quick. Before recording, I was watching Black Panther, the Black Panther movie, and I'm at that part that I just passed the part where T'Challa confronts... what's his name again? Oh my God. What the hell's his name again? Jesus Christ. The hell is his name again? Just a second. All right. I gotta remember a black actor's name. The dude with the bad eyesight there. Not bad eyesight, but the... oh my... Forrest Whitaker's character. Jesus Christ. Thank God, Brain. Thanks for working with me. Yeah, Forrest Whitaker's character... And he's. I'm at that scene where Forrest Whitaker's got to break the news about, yeah, your dad ain't that innocent. And I love that line where he says, I made a promise to the king not to tell you the story. He says, I am your king now. And yeah, if you notice, I'm going to play it right now. This line.
I am your king now.
Ah, fuck, I love this line. Yeah, if you notice that I play that at the end of every podcast. Why? Because it's just cool. It's cool. And, you know, it's my goddamn podcast. So, you know, I do shit, even though it won't make sense to some of you. Anyways, yeah, Black Panther. Was just finished watching Black Panthers, and I'm remembering how I felt the first time I watched that movie. It's like, I love the movie. That's all you need to know. I love the movie. It's R.I.P. Chadwick Boseman. I believe this is one of their greatest contributions to humanity, your role in that movie and your ideas. And yeah, I'm surprised that there's not a lot of word being said about the Vince Staples show. I watched the first four episodes. There's one last episode for me to watch. And it's actually funny. I was expecting to be disappointed, but I gotta tell you, it feels a lot. I get a lot of Atlanta vibes from it. And, like, they need to do a crossover. Like Paperboy needs to make an appearance on the Vince Staples show. Whatever. Anyway, long story short, I'm enjoying it. And I'm just surprised that it's not big news. Anyways, yeah, just a warm-up here. News and random thoughts. Okay. I can tell you, this one's going to be short. I may talk for a while, but I don't have a lot of content. First is, I want to talk to you about the rejection letter that I got this week. Woman reportedly fired for telling McDonald's employee to get a career. It'll make more sense after I tell you. And then, finally, Monique's oldest son speaks. Yeah, just four things. But that last one might go on for long. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Rejection letter. Yes, so... for those of you who don't know, I've been applying to other jobs. I've been applying to jobs, right? Actually, to get more specific, I've been applying. It's they got this system at my work that if you want to get promoted, you don't get promoted. You have to apply for your position. So then it's kind of weird, you know. And they use it as some lever. It's like, yo, man, these motherfuckers want to whatever, man. That's not the point. So one of the spots that I applied for and did the interview. Did the interview and everything. It was kind of weird. It was a written interview. Anyway, long story short, they sent me the message saying, yeah, you ain't shit. No, okay. No. Basically, I didn't pass. And I won't lie, man. That shit hurt. That shit fucking hurt. Now, I'm not going to make a whole episode about how it hurt. I'm just bringing up the fact that I am fully aware that's what this hurt is necessary to move forward. Like, I'm fully aware of this. Rationally, I know that on the journey to success, sometimes you got to feel that pain. On the last episode, I remember talking about how you'll notice that how I equated relationship with failure. Like, I only see the bad side. I was only able to see that. Basically, I kept talking about equating relationship with heartbreaks. And, that's what that pain reminded me of, is it was a pain that I had low-key promised myself to never feel again. And what I didn't realize I was also saying was, you're not going to try anymore. Fuck trying. Which probably plays into the idea of, adds to the idea of why I feel so old, because I've been taking less risks, trying out less things. I've been getting more comfortable in my comfort zone. This is not a preacher. This is not a preacher. This is me confessing that, admitting that, realizing that as I was wallowing in that pain, reading those last words of that rejection, basically saying, hey, you didn't do too well. And I think part of it has to do with, I remember when I did the interview and finally had that final copy, feeling so good about my answers. Like, I was convinced it was my best foot forward. This is what I'm saying. I'm convinced I put my best foot forward. It's the realization that your best was not enough. That's what's fucking with me. Now, technically, I just need to get used to that feeling. Because it's not over. But I am saying, yo, this motherfucker feels like a kick in the nuts. And I'm on the ground. And people are trying to pick me up. I'm like, God, let go. Let me fucking suffer on the ground. That's how I feel like right now. Not right now, but that's how I felt initially. Shout out to my homegirl. One of my homegirls looking out for me career-wise. And I told her about the thing. And she said, because I had read something how you should send a thank you letter after you get the, you get dissed. And I really did not feel like sending a thank you letter. I felt like saying, oh, fuck your bitch and the click you cling. West side where we ride, coming quick, we game. No. And she suggested, like, just replying and, you know, replying and saying, hey, can I get some tips on what went wrong, just so I know in the future? And I think I'm going to write one of those letters. But I'm going to write one of those letters even though I'm overcome by the feeling of, fuck that. Don't try again. Give up. Oh, this reminds me of a conversation. It's not an incident, but my cousin, she was like in her 16. She was in her teens. My younger cousin, yeah, she was 16 and she had applied for a job and she didn't get the job. And I was talking to one of my wife's homie, I was getting the news and I was telling that to my friend, my wife's homie, and he was like, tell her to get used to it. Tell her to get used to that feeling. Because she was expecting her disappointment at not getting a job. And he was like, tell her to get used to it. And that's life. Sorry about that. Goddamn Windows. Let me know that virus threat protection. Yeah, fuck Windows Defender. Yeah. But that is life. That is part of life. It's, there's an interview with Michelle Obama. I didn't see the whole, I'm going to say I don't like the interview, but it's Michelle Obama talking about how, yeah, you got to be a parent. You got to be a parent to your kids, not friends, giving that old lecture. Now, I'm sure there's more context to it, but it's been used as, oh, this is how parenting should be. But that's not the point why I'm bringing it up. The one thing I do agree about is she's saying, basically exposing that, your kids need to be exposed to the fact that life ain't going to be nice and sweet. So part of parenting is letting them know, is giving them a heads up that, oh, you think I'm bad? Wait till life kicks your ass. and I'm acknowledging that, yes, that feeling from that rejection letter, I really, really do not like it. Like, it's enough for me to want to, like, stop this recording and wallow in self-pity in this corner, in the corner. And then again, I am a highly sensitive person, so I feel this shit. You know, it is possible to feel the pain and still move on. Don't let these, shout out to all you highly sensitive people out there who know what the fuck I'm talking about. It's okay to acknowledge the pain, which is what I'm doing. It's okay to say, yo, I feel like shit. I feel like giving up. even though you're not going to do it. It's I'm trying to say it's normal. Don't trust motherfuckers who act like, yeah, dust my shoulders off. Well, you know, maybe it works for them, but there's just don't buy their book. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't buy their book. So, yeah, man, fuck it. There's just two bullet wounds. I'll be okay. I'm just going to walk it off. Anyways, long story short, I really did not like that rejection letter, and that shit bummed out my week, but I'm slowly getting over it. All right. Now, this I'm playing to cheer me up. It's, really? Are you not in my link? Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Oh, the order's right. Okay, so I'm going to play this article, and it's about, hey, you know what? We'll get a better description from my AI bot. So, woman, here, let's go. I'm glad she got fired. Here, I'm just going to end it with, I'm glad she got fired. But here we go.
Woman reportedly fired after telling McDonald's employee to get a career. A woman has reportedly been fired after telling a McDonald's employee to get a career during a spat in the drive-thru. With millions of people posting videos across social media each day, there's no telling what could become the next viral hit. From restaurant food tips to a woman building a tunnel under her house and even a brawl in the middle of the road, the possibilities are endless. Now, a woman has reportedly been fired after telling a McDonald's employee to get a career during a spat in the drive-thru. Woman tells McDonald's employee to get a career. In a post from Yegwave on Twitter X, you can see a video seemingly filmed by the McDonald's employee that shows a couple in their car arguing with the employee. The couple reportedly declined to park their car to wait for food, instead asking for a cash refund. However, it appears that the couple paid in debit and could only get their refund through that method. Sign up to Dexerto for free and receive fewer ads, dark mode deals in gaming, TV and movies. A dispute arose, leading to a confrontation during which the woman called the worker a loser, asked her where she's from, and told her to get a career. The man also warned the employee about his Instagram account, which has 50,000 followers, the tweet says. In a follow-up tweet, Yegwave says that the owner and general manager of the woman's workplace has confirmed to them in DMs that she was fired from her job. My name is Marco and I am the owner and acting general manager, reads the message. We do not condone that type of language and she is no longer employed at this company.
Well done.
This video does not reflect the values or viewpoints of the employees who work here or the family that owns this business. All four of our grandparents were immigrants to Canada as well as many of our employees. This isn't the first drive-thru spat at McDonald's in recent months, either, as a woman recently went viral for ranting about having to park and wait for food.
Wow. Oops, sorry. I had to shut off. Okay, I want to play the clip. This might sound familiar, but you guys can't see it. But I want to play the clip of the video that went viral, and it's the... here we go.
If you're refunding my money, you have to give me cash.
Oh my God, you guys pay what debit, right?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, sir.
If you're telling me you're not giving me my food, I want my money back in cash.
I didn't say that. I'm not giving you food. I just request you guys to fresh food, right?
I don't want to park.
This is Celebrity McDonald's. This is Edmonton, Alberta, girl.
I'm not parking.
You're in Edmonton. Where are you from?
Where are you from?
Okay. Yeah, man, this video is infuriating. Right. So the McDonald's employee, you're looking at it from the perspective of the McDonald's employee, and she's giving the debit machine through a stick. And this asshole with his girlfriend or whatever, the passenger, the female passenger, I'm assuming it's his girlfriend or whatever, significant other. He's got a camera. They both have their camera on. And the first guy, the driver is saying, hey, this is my right as a Canadian not to park on the side to get my food. Either give my food or give my money back. And the lady behind her is like, fuck, man, makes the situation worse. And is like saying some stupid shit about, yo, you're in Edmonton. And I guess she comments on her her English. And or she reacts to her English, and what did she say? I think she said basically something about immigrants and her. See, that's the thing about English people, man. It drives me nuts. Is they'll rant on someone not speaking English. I blame the queen for this shit. I'm glad that bitch is dead. Anyway, they'll rant about someone not properly speaking their language while oblivious, while ignoring the fact that the other person is only not speaking your language the way you want them to speak. It's because they know a second language. And the only reason they have to speak English is because your dumbass is only able to speak one language. You know what I mean? It's like this. Okay, I'm going on a rant. Okay, all well ends well. Yes. Long story short, I'm glad that the lady got fired. Man, like the follow up to you from Yegwave. What's Yegwave? Okay, let me see what Yegwave is. Yeah, it doesn't matter. No, actually, it is. I'm just kind of curious. Yegwave is. Yegwave. Oh, shit. It doesn't matter. Whatever, man. She lost her job. It's, you know, a lot of times when I see these racist incidents, I always wonder, fuck, who are her coworkers? Oh, Alberta culture. I don't know what Yegwave is, but whatever. Anyway, she got fired. Ha, 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 ha. This economy. Yeah, it's going to be fucked up. She ends up at McDonald's. All right, okay. Let's jump to the last item I have on, which I'm convinced is going to take me a lot of time to. I don't know, because I'm just. See, this could have been a final thought onto his own. Initially, I did not want to talk about the Monique issues, right? A lot of things going on with Monique. I don't know enough about the woman to make an intelligent opinion about her situation. But I guess I'm allowed to talk about the shit she's been presenting, the shit she's put out there. Because I'm starting to feel like it's content. It's like, yo, it's getting to the point where at this, all you need is throwing some commercial and product placement, and her family business is now a business. Am I right? Can I get an amen? You know what I mean? I said her family business is now a business. Okay, I'll be honest with you. It's I'm reminding myself this is my goddamn podcast. I can talk about what I want, and I really don't want to be another ignorant person weighing in on celebrity bullshit, celebrity whatever. You know, I can't speak to her soul. I don't know who she is. I just know what she's been presenting. But last episode, I remember I seen a clip of Monique's eldest son speaking up, right? Let me see what the title says. I am not going to play it because it's a 10-minute long clip.
I am Shalon. I am a stand-up comedian, Monique's oldest son. I guess I felt the need to make this video to just provide some context into this false narrative about her praying to the universe.
All right. Okay. Stand-up comedian, Monique's oldest son speaks. It's a 10-minute clip. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be able to summarize it. I just know that homeboy decided to speak up. And, speak against his mom. It's, you know what? I'm not speaking against him doing that. It's the person who shared it with me, they wrote something that really got my attention. And she wrote, I hate when your child comes on the internet and express his feelings instead of coming to you personally. But what do y'all think? Now, that triggered me because I wanted to explain, as the son of a preacher's kid who grew up pretending to be part of a perfect family or a family better than everyone else's, looking down, your daughter has kids out of wedlock. Oh, not my kids. Oh, your kids graduated, dropped out of high school. Oh, not my kids. Oh, your kid is doing drugs. Not my kids. And now shit has changed. It's like, fuck, when you niggas gonna get married? It's all about putting on an image, right? So what I'm getting at is, The difference between being a good parent and the difference between giving people the image you're a good parent. I hate the latter, the second people. So when she said your child goes on the internet to express their feeling instead of coming to you personally. Oops, sorry. Sorry, yeah. But it's some people can't imagine. I remember asking a question to one of my friends raising his kids, and I asked him because I was so impressed on how he was taking care of his kids. I was so impressed on the relationship he was built. Basically, most of my friends, I can vouch for and say that, yo, all of them, great, mediocre, bad parenting, all of them are improvements. Have made improvement to the parenting they received. Like from not beating my kids, from you know, giving, allowing them to speak up or understanding them. Anyway, what I'm getting at is I told them, can you picture yourself being in a situation where your kid has a problem that they can't come to you with? Or worse, they feel like they can't talk to you about it. And there was something about his response. It was like, yo, fuck. It's like that's his worst case. That's his, like, his fear. He doesn't want that. He never wants to be in a situation where his kids feel like they can't talk to him. Now, my Generation X, a lot of us grew up with parents who, yo, for the most part, they did what they were supposed to do. They gave us housing. They sent us to school, made sure we got an education and all that shit. But our relationship, but there's a barrier in that relationship. Like, we ended up being in a situation where there were things that we cannot speak to our parents to. For me, yo, holy shit, there's certain items, like, I'd have better luck speaking to a wall than explaining it to my parents. Simple shit like, I'm trying to find myself. I'm trying to realize who I am. A lot of what gets brought up on these podcasts, it's things that... it's things that I've never been able to figure out how to... it's conversation I've never been able to have, especially with my parents. This is not meant to be a... again, yeah, I always say this all the time. This is not meant to be... hey, shit on your parents' time. No, this is more, maybe this is a warning about those of you who refuse, who don't make improvements, who don't look at the way you were parented and don't make improvements. Yeah, that's some of the risk you run. You run the risk of ending up with a child who feels the need to air out their grievances to everyone except you. And not because they're mean, but because they know you wouldn't reciprocate. You wouldn't be receptive. You wouldn't be able to understand. It's like, see, at the beginning of the episode, I talked about how this podcast is not friendly, is not a safe space for white fragility. White fragility has made me realize that there's certain, when it comes to race, not every white person is able to handle that conversation about race. A conversation outside of what they were initially told about race. What do you mean racism didn't die after Martin Luther King said the I Had a Dream speech? No, bro. It's more complicated than that. Racism is a bit more complicated than that. What do you mean black people can't be racist? What do you mean? I've never used the N-word. How am I racist? You know, like... what I'm getting at is, it's very, when you think about the concept of communication, right? I learned that the hard way. I learned that in the communication dynamics class. When it comes to the art of communication, between two computers, there's pretty much nothing one computer can transmit to the other computer, provided it has the bandwidth and the capacity. Oh my God. Actually, it's the same example. Okay, what I'm getting at is between two computers, you can pretty much transfer anything to another, right? Shout out to the internet. But between two human beings, sometimes there are conversations you can't have with another human being. Like, if one person speaks French and the other one speaks English, you're going to have difficulty transferring, communicating with each other. I'm talking about, like, serious. I'm not talking about, like, can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? 2 + 2 = 4. No, I'm talking about, this is how I feel. When you say this, I feel like that. Like, serious conversations, deep down, important conversations. Sometimes there are human beings, what are we, 8 billion? There's a large portion of human beings who cannot hear what you have to say, who cannot process what you have to say. And what rarely gets talked about is when it's between a child and their parent. And when I say child, I mean like an adult. The adult child with their parents. It happens. It happens. Like, I don't have the solution to how to avoid it. Actually, that's probably one of the fears I used to have about having a kid. Is having a kid that ends up having the same, that I end up having the same relationship with him that I had with my parents. Again, not that it was a bad relationship, but there were certain important things I was unable to discuss with them. Just to make you laugh, okay? I remember when I was probably an adult, right? But living under my parents' roof, and my dad caught me smoking weed, found out that I was smoking weed. And you know, I felt like, oh, it was cool because he asked me about it, and I felt, all right, okay, now we're going to have an adult conversation about weed, smoking weed. And it ended with him being like, hey, promise me you're not going to smoke that shit again. I'm like, Dad, I can't make you that promise. I promise you're going to make you that promise. You're not going to smoke that shit again. And I'm like, oh, okay. Looks like you want me to lie to you. Sorry, it's not meant to be funny, but it was like, there's been a lot of that. I know best. And then, yeah, that I know best conversation. So there's a lot of our relationship has been like, okay, looks like you just want me to lie to you. Because you can't accept that, like, I can't commit to, holy shit, to not smoking weed. Are you kidding? I can tell you, I can make you feel good about it, but that's it. I'm just saying, there's it's kind of like, I don't want to have a conversation with my parents about how I was conceived. My ears does not want to, you know what I mean? I'm okay. My point is this. Sometimes it happens in the parent and child relationship. There are conversations that can't be had. And sometimes those conversations are the important ones. Now, let me show my notes again. Oops. Sorry. Let me go to my notes again. I said, oh, right, okay. Okay. I was going to ignore, I was going to ignore it, but I'm going to play this clip. I hate when your child comes. Oh, yeah. I'm going to play this clip, and it's Monique's son. And she's the one that made me, this is the clip. Okay, her name is The Medusa Show, Medusa. And she said something. First, I found it a little harsh, but that's the reason, that's what triggered me having this conversation. So here we go. Here we go.
I think it's a major red flag when your kids don't fuck with you. Like, your kids don't want nothing to do with you. As far as I'm concerned, I don't want nothing to do with you either. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not talking about, like, your teenage daughter that's going through puberty. I'm talking about when your kids are grown, when they are adults and they're able to think for themselves. The person who spent the most time with you has grown up and concluded that they want nothing to do with you or their kids. That says a lot. And this is something that I've noticed about parents who are not in contact with their kids. A lot of times the parents will overcompensate with their younger children or with children that they have in other relationships. And I noticed that it always happens with the oldest. Pay attention. The oldest child is always the one who knows what a body.
Oops.
These are buried. That's the one who's been through the most with their parent. Will Smith, 50 Cent, Brian McKnight, Monique, they all fall out with their oldest. So once they fall out with the oldest, that's when they want to overcompensate and do this performative bullshit with the younger kids. Almost like they trying to rewrite history or something. Whenever I see somebody only posting one of their kids, especially when they only post the youngest, that tells me everything I need to know. Like, all that sweet, beautiful babies bullshit, all that shit is performative at this point. They always want to talk about honor thy parents and honor thy mother and father. Bitch, honor your fucking kids, and until you do so, this will be your karma.
Now, I did find it harsh, but then it hit me that okay, no, my relationship with my parents is not that fucked up, you know, where we're not speaking to each other. We do speak to each other, but we just don't have serious conversations. We just don't have, like, I can't tell them. I don't know. Sometimes I think my thoughts are just too complicated to explain. On a previous episode, I was trying to have a serious conversation with my dad, and he was like, "Damn, you're philosophical." And to me, it's, I guess to him, he's just hearing like the medulla of planet Jupiter and blah 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 blah. Like my mom, the only conversation I can have is if I want to have a conversation, is just talk about the Bible. You know what I mean? So, at first I was like, when I heard her message, I was like, damn, you're harsh. But I'm realizing that, no, okay, what she's saying doesn't necessarily apply to me because I didn't serve her my relationship with my parents. It's just not like it used to be. And, it reminds me of, it's just not, see, going back to this, the lady she's talking about, Monique, I'm thinking about how watching The Sopranos, and The Sopranos inadvertently, or I didn't take it seriously, but was probably my first introduction to the concept of toxic parenting. Not to say my parents are toxic, but when you're in a relationship where you could just tell them what they want to hear, that all the only thing they only want to hear is what they want to hear, then that kind of, I would say that's a toxic relationship. So all this to say that, getting back to the Monique situation, it's not that, it's hard for me not to weigh in, but it's also hard for me not to not think of my own situation and not project and not see, like, as soon as I saw her son speak out against her mother, she immediately became the villain in this story. And a lot of black people, they're taking offense to this shit because how dare you not honor, like, a lot of black people grew up on that whole biblical, what was it, that, is it the fifth or sixth commandment, honor thy parents. Like, it's sacred to us. Parenting is sacred. Even though you had shitty parents, nah, it's sacred. I guess that's what The Sopranos was showing too. But sometimes it's like when your parents are the ones who hurt you the most, or part of the people who hurt you in life, you got to address it. You know? I guess what I'm just trying to say is toxic parenting is a thing. And I don't know. I have no solutions to propose. All I just know I can tell you is a lot of us are just going through it. That's all I can say. Yeah, just going through it. It's, it is what it is. If I'm mad at Christianity, it's the fact that I feel like Christianity has made Christianity has complicated my relationship with my parents, has made it difficult. Like, didn't give all the right advice to, doesn't provide any solutions that would help, that would improve our relationship. So with that said, this, I'm going to conclude and news and random thoughts. And there's a lot I could have said or didn't know how to say it, but I'm open to feedback, man. As always, holler at me at shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. All right, let's jump to final thoughts and then finally end this show. or like Randolph from Three Guys On would say, bring this one home. All right, let's go. All right. What's up with today's title? Like, I really hope Dr. Ubar and Erica Badu stands aren't listening and are expecting a whole section where I would praise them. I'm like, nah, man, fuck them niggas. But I'll be honest with you, man. Well, first I'm going to start out by saying I am not making a lot of what I do on this podcast, but okay, in this particular final thought, I don't really have a point. I'm more making an observation. And the observation came to me after I realized that I had a moment where I realized that, oh, wow, I've been living my life or my blackness in a way to get hoping in a way that would get the approval of Dr. Umar. Same goes for masculinity. I've been living my life hoping to get the approval of Erykah Badu. And I bring up Erykah Badu because she made a joke during the Super Bowl. And she was talking about how she was saying how, all the soft niggas were now's the time to cheat with a soft nigga because I think the real men are watching football or some shit like that. Now, again, it was a joke, but it's more the idea of real men watch football. That's real what I'm going with. And to be honest, if this was a song, right, that I titled Dr. Umar and Erykah Badu, the song would be less about them and more about the realization that I've been seeking approval from people who wouldn't approve of me. That's been my constant life quest. I've been constantly on a quest for approval, for someone to say, you're all right. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, I still, out of all the words in English or concept that I still struggle with, self-acceptance, it's one of them. Meaning, I know the definition, I can read it, but when it comes to applying it, it's a challenge for me. I struggle with that concept. I'm better off. Calculus is a lot simpler than me understanding self-acceptance. But I'm growing. Which is part of what this whole podcast is about, or what my life is. It's growth. Like, I'm telling you, the version of me you're speaking to now doesn't understand self-acceptance. The version I'm hoping you'll speak to sometime soon will start to understand self-acceptance. But I think I'm getting warmer in the realization that I've been seeking approval from all the wrong people. There's someone brought this up in church. Part of my message, like I said, if this was a song, it'd be less about Dr. Umar and Erykah Badu. It'd be more about my inability to understand self-acceptance. But one of the verse would be focused on saying, fuck Christianity, fuck patriarchy, fuck capitalism, fuck homophobia. Pretty much, fuck everything that encourages the idea that makes it hard for anyone to understand or apply self-acceptance. See, this world relies, or this economy relies, on people being insecure about themselves or believing that there is no inner God. Their quest for God is on the outside. Like, you should be going through life seeking other people's approval. But, sorry, there's a spelling mistake on this. Yeah, okay. Let me focus here, because I don't want to make this longer than it needs to be. But yes, the quest for self-acceptance. I was initially going to recite some X-Clan, because X-Clan is the reason why Dr. Umar became an impactful personality in my life. Not that I was a fan of the dude, but I grew up revering people like him. and thought that, yo, they were the leaders. Like Farrakhan, whatever Farrakhan says, that's the truth. The Farrakhans of the world, the Hoteps. That I it's funny is I wanted their approval, but and while if I took the time to get to know who I really am, would have known that, okay, yeah, they don't fuck with people like me. They'll never, you know, they'll extend the carrot. They'll keep you running, empty your pockets, but they're never you're never going to get the approval that you want from them. Because to them, your version of my version of masculinity or blackness is wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is oh, I was talking about Christianity. Fuck Christianity. It's there's a thing about Christianity, about this idea that you're fucked up. You're a fucked up person. Like, it's kind of like when they say, well, how's it go? Goes, love the sinner, hate the sin. It's the equivalent. It's pretty much saying, hey, yeah, I know you're gay, but once you stop being gay, then I will accept you. But until then, you're just that motherfucker I'm tolerating. No, I'm not gay. But but I don't fall. When you think of the definition of masculinity, yeah, there's a lot of I don't get right. And at first I thought it was a personal failure on my part, but then later realized that nah, man, it just makes you everything you are, makes you everything you everything you're not makes you everything you are. Oh my God, I'm trying to recite Kanye's line. Everything I am, everything I'm not makes me everything I am. Anyways, the last line I put. Yes, I've made peace with being okay of being the villain in someone else's life. I'm okay with Erykah Badu being the villain in Erykah Badu's life. Or not just Erykah Badu, I'm exaggerating. I'm saying the women who subscribe to the idea of what a real man is, I'm okay with being their villain or being Dr. Umar's villain. And when I say villain, I mean the guy that they'll talk shit against, that they'll look down on. They'll be like, they'll point at and say, that's what's wrong with masculinity. That's what's wrong with black men. That's what's wrong with the world today. Yeah. Anyways, I don't have much to say except the last point that I'm going to make is on the quest to learning about self-acceptance. My inspiration is, I'm just going to take time to say shout out to Lizzo. Y'all know who Lizzo is? And especially the picture that she recently put out, and I'm looking at it right now and going, damn, too legit, too quick, too legit. No, I'm actually singing Bruno Mars song. All night. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Anyway, yeah, so Lizzo was wearing a, what do you call those things? Lingerie. And she looks fine. Oh, hold on a second. There's music. Oh, Jesus Christ. This is like, she's wearing a lingerie. This is like Happy Valentine's Day lingerie. This is like, oh, you got a promotion? This is, I'm coming home to this. I will murder, if I get sent to war, like this is the picture that keeps you going. Anyway, my point is she looks fine. And shout out to her for being defiant. I think there's two things. A, okay, what she's wearing is giving me a boner. Ah, disgusting, that's gross. And two, I'm inspired by her defiance. If I had a conversation with Lizzo, it would be, when did you know you were hot? When did you know that you had a hotness that I would like and other people wouldn't? And you knew to be like, fuck the haters. That would be my conversation with her, because I'm trying to figure it out for myself. Anyways, yeah, shout out to Lizzo and shout out to her, that lingerie picture that she just shared on the internet. All right, this concludes today's episode. Now, just a quick reminder. I mentioned earlier that this podcast is broken down to three parts. If you go on the show notes, there are four parts. And the first three mimic the episode, and it's all links to things that I brought up during the podcast, or there are probably links that inspired what I was talking about during the episode. But there's an extra section called, the fourth section called Other Links. And in there is just random things, articles that I've read, or links that I feel deserve your attention or you might like. It's just, think of it as a foreword or a retweet or a post for your own curiosity. Oh, the article about Vince Staples is just happy to be here. Yeah, I'm not finished reading it, but it was just me trying to make sense of, really? Vince Staples? I didn't know you were funny. I was just curious. It was just curiosity. All right. What am I missing here? Yeah. Okay, that's it. All right, with that said, this concludes today's episode. Not bad, man. Didn't go too long. If you want to holler at me. You can find me on the social medias, the socials, on Twitter, Instagram, Threads. Go to @ShutUpPodcast. On TikTok, it's @ShutUpPodcast.com. But if you're really serious about finding me on these internet streets, you got to go to ShutUpPodcast.com. What was that? I said ShutUpPodcast.com. Say that one more time because my hearing aid wasn't on. ShutUpPodcast.com. The power of threes, boys and girls. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed or go to Google, Apple, Amazon. You know, pretty much everywhere you can find a podcast except Spotify. That's to be continued. That's a work in progress. Yo, boys and girls, thank you for listening. Seriously. And please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right? Peace.